I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and he's a maniac on the run. Are those the words? Is it she's a maniac or he's a maniac? And are the rest of the words on the run? She's a maniac on the run. I feel like that's what it is. I feel like I need to look it up now. Anyways, everyone, welcome. Great to be here for another episode of Keep On Cooking. And we are in a bit of a series here is what we're doing here. We're hitting up the second book in a series by Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero. I love these collection of books. So it's these cute little 6x6. I want to say they're 6x6 inches, books. One that's dedicated to cupcakes, vegan cupcakes take over the world, which I did a couple weeks ago. And now we've got the second one that came out in 2009, Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar, 100 dairy-free recipes for everyone's favorite treat. And then in a couple more weeks, I'm going to return and give you Vegan Pie in the Sky. Vegan Pie in the Sky, 75 out of this world recipes for pies, tarts, cobblers, and more. I mean, can it get any better? I've had Issa Chandra and both Terry Romero on the podcast, so you can go back and listen to their episodes, of course. And they talk about these books. I remember Terry said, if I had to make frosting one more time and do those dishes, I was going to lose my mind. And I was like, I get it. Frosting's a lot. So when you're testing like a cupcake book and all you're doing is making frosting, woo, that's a lot of frosting and dishes to get through. But when I had Issa on, I said, listen, this is a disservice that your publisher is doing here. These need to be bundled together in a little box set and sold all together as one, because they really are a fantastic collection of books. Great for anyone who wants to boost up their baking skills in the vegan arena, because nothing has animal products in here. I was looking up the lyrics to She's a Maniac. Well, I guess that's what it is. That answers my question then, right? Because it's a song from Flashdance called She's a Maniac. Let's see what the lyrics say. She's a maniac on the floor. Man, I tell you, we go through this all the time in this house. I will sing lyrics to something, and David's like, what did you just say? And I was just saying, he's a maniac on the run. The lyrics are, she's a maniac on the floor. So I do not have it together in the lyric department. And what's interesting is I think my hearing's getting bad, and I don't think it's getting bad. I think it's been bad this entire time. A maniac on the run, on the floor are the words. Anyways, here we are. Vegan Cookies, Invade Your Cookie Jar, 100 dairy-free recipes for everyone's favorite treats, came out in 2009. Don't run, don't hide. Vegan cookies are going to invade your cookie jar, one delicious bite at a time. Join award-winning cookbook authors Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero, authors of the hit cookbook Vegan Cupcakes Take Over the World, as they continue their world domination mission with dairy-free and egg-free batches of everyone's favorite treats. Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar includes more than 100 irresistible recipes for cookies, bars, biscotti, brownies, and more. Discover festive desserts that are sure to impress family and friends at any occasion, from birthdays to bake sales, or simply tempt yourself with magical coconut cookie bars, chocolate chip cream cheese brownies, peanut butter crisscrosses, NYC black and whites. Come on now, NYC black and whites. Key lime shortbread rounds. Call me blondies. I love it. Macadamia lace cookies. Throughout the book, Issa and Terry share their best mixing, baking, and decorating techniques and tackle age-old cookie conundrums. Learn the secrets of veganizing your brand name favorites, Nutter Butters. Nutter Betters, anyone? Come on, Nutter Betters. Whipping up gluten-free batches and even making cookies you can eat for breakfast. I love a cookie for breakfast. When vegan cookies invade your cookie jar, it's yummy to give in. And that is the official description of the book from Amazon. I will say, you know, these books, 2006, 2009, 2011 is when these three books came out. And now we've gone to a place in the cookbook landscape where we have a gazillion books for everything. So it can be very hard to sort out what's great, what's actually going to be a home run with a cookbook. There's some publishers that do some, I don't want to say shady things, but they're just starting to, they look at trends specifically, and they try and push out books regarding trends and what they think is going to sell well, as opposed to this, where you've got tried and true authors that took the time and their talent to write these books for you and really test recipes and follow through. And you know you're getting that from these two. So I bring this up not to say all current cookbooks are bad at all. Obviously, I love cookbooks. I have this podcast. But it has, we're oversaturated in the cookbook market, right? This podcast can go on forever. There's never not going to be a vegan cookbook to talk about. That is the truth. And these books came out at a time when we were not oversaturated yet. So this was, you know, again, I said 2006, 2011 was the span of these books coming out. And I want to say the big push and when the oversaturation of cookbooks started was probably around, I mean, it's been the last 5 years, really. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where if I go to a bookstore, it used to be really cool. You'd go in and I watched the vegan section from when I first went vegan around 2009. It was this small section you could barely find, right? And you would find it, you'd get so excited. You'd see authors you knew. You'd see Issa. You would see Chloe. You'd see these books, right? And then as years progressed in the last decade, the section got bigger and you had all these cookbooks available. And you would just get really, you could go there, you could thumb through cookbooks, you could find what you wanted, you could find different variations of what you wanted, you could find multiple cookbooks from different authors, all these cool things. And now we're at a place where if you go to a bookstore, the vegan section, it's not that it's not, like, there's a good amount, but it's not everything that's out there. You're not getting a good scope of what's available on the vegan market for cookbooks at an actual bookstore, which I hate saying because bookstores are just doing what they should be doing, which is they're trying to keep their doors open. So they're stocking their shelves with books that have good numbers that they know are going to sell because that's how you run a business. You got to sell things that people want, right? So the cookbook world has been crazy and strange in that. And it's been interesting to watch specifically the vegan section at cookbook, at bookstores sort of go through its phases. But all that to say, these baking books are tried and true. Like, they're from authors you know you can trust, and there have been a lot of vegan baking cookbooks specifically come out, and you can totally trust them. But if you're looking for a fun little romp in the world of vegan baking, this series is just for you. So let's dig into Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar by Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero. All right, so we're starting out here. We got an introduction again, and then cookie science. So ingredients, we're going to talk about ingredients, how to make them the best cookies ever, tools for success for achieving cookies, that is, substituting some tough love for trying cookie times. Oh, I wonder what that means. Troubleshooting, something wicked comes to the cookie sheet. So I love this again. They did this in the cupcake book. They've got a troubleshooting section. And I love having a troubleshooting section because baking can be finicky depending on oven variants and humidity, all that type of stuff. Like that flour, different flours that you get, different brands. So it's nice to have a troubleshooting section. What I'm interested about here is the substitution section. I wonder what they're talking about substituting. So it says substituting some tough love for trying cookie times. The best day of school was always when your Spanish teacher was out sick and in came the sub. You knew you could throw out school equipment out the window, lock other students in the janitor's closet, and deal quaaludes right from your desk, right? Well, that sounds like Issa wrote this. Then one day, a different kind of substitute arrived. Just as you were going to clean erasers on a classmate's head, she used some sort of wizardry to hurl you back into your seat. Before you knew it, you were writing a 5,000-word essay extolling the virtues of the Chilean coastline. I love this. So she's talking about substitutes here, and how not one in them are all the same. Not one is made like the other. They are not the same. You get the phrase I'm trying to say. The point... Then she says it right here. The point is, not all substitutes are created equal. I should just read the book to you instead of trying to talk myself. Every so often, when we're Googling ourselves 25 times a day, we find someone complaining that their cookies came out wrong. All they did was replace the oil with jelly and the chocolate chips with bubble gum or something like that. Now, we're no strangers to invention. We've opened the pantry and gotten the bad news, too. Out of brown sugar, sometimes subbing is necessary, and home baker would do well to know how to make these changes successfully. Whether it's because you want gluten-free goodies for your nephew or just came into a sandbag of almond flour, we've got you covered. Flours are probably the most common substitute made. It's okay to do, but just know what you're getting into. And now, so it goes into, I love this, different variations and swaps to do with things. So from all-purpose flour, swapping it with pastry flour or white whole wheat flour or wheat pastry flour, margarine, swapping with vegetable oil, fat in general, swapping with applesauce, sugar, swapping with a liquid sweetener, brown sugar, peanut butters, swapping with other nut butters, flax seeds, swapping with starch and starches, swapping with tapioca, cornstarch, or arrowroot. So lots of cool things there in their swap section. The troubleshooting section, oh, this is fun. They give little like examples. The dough is too crumbly and dry. The spread is too much. They don't spread enough. Burnt bottoms, they're floppy and doughy, rock hard pucks, greasy grossness. So this is good. They really give you some ins and outs of how to make the best cookies and make this book work for you. So let's get into the recipes, shall we? Let's do it. We've got the first chapter is drop cookies. So in this chapter, we've got, well, let's see here. Drop cookies is our first chapter here. I'm just trying to look and see. Drop cookies. Mix it, drop it, bake it. That's a drop cookie. Sometimes you gotta roll them into ball or press them down, but no biggie. No other cookie satisfies as quickly and simply. Last minute guest or on the spot cravings all respond to these free form, minimal equipment required cookies, from the basics, chocolate chips and oatmeal, to unexpected, cherries, pretzels, and macadamia nuts. We have a drop cookie for every demanding cookie fan in your life. So easy for even the busiest of bees. Why not make a few different varieties whenever the need for a cookie comes a knocking? That's great. I love that. Drop cookies. Just drop them and bake them, honey. Get into it. All right. We got chocolate chip cookies, carrot raisin spice chewies, chocolate fudgy oatmeal cookies, blackstrap ginger snaps. Blackstrap ginger snaps. Had to say it like that. Couldn't help it. Chocolatey crinkle cookies, city girl snickerdoodles, cowboy cookies, variation is a cowgal cookie, sell your soul pumpkin cookies, espresso chip oatmeal cookies, macadamia ginger crunch drops, what? Banana everything cookies, including a variation for banana, brekkie banana cookies. By the way, I love saying brekkie for breakfast. I had someone I was corresponding with once, like 10 years ago, and they said in a text, let's just meet for brekkie. And I've like held on to it ever since. I'm like, oh, brekkie. Tahini lime cookies. I don't know about you, but I'm into some tahini. And with some lime, get into it. I'm here for it. Cherry almond cookies. I'm also, listen, I'm just a cookie monster. Peanut apple pretzel drops. Peanut butter oatmeal cookies. Citrus glitters. Oatmeal raisin cookies. Roasted almond cookies. Rocky roads. Peanut butter crisscrosses. Sweet wine biscuits with sesame, mocha mamas, and Mexican chocolate snickerdoodles. Speaking of the snickerdoodle, they've got city girl snickerdoodles in here. Let's see what makes these a city girl snickerdoodle. They say, we're going to make a confession. We really don't know the classic Pennsylvania Dutch snickerdoodle very well. So snickerdoodle veterans out there, consider these a variation for us city folk. They don't seem to be much of a presence in the Northeast, which is a shame because this cookie just radiates yumminess that can stop traffic. Truth, a snickerdoodle is everything. This thin, crisp, buttery cookie coated in a cinnamon sugar is pretty much perfect alone, but if necessary, serve with a little dairy-free vanilla ice cream. Ooh, snickerdoodle cookie and vanilla ice cream. The addition of the decorator sugar makes it just a little extra glittery and girly. Oh, I love that. Okay, so sounds like we're doing all the sugar here, the things that we normally do. So decorator sugar. So by that, they're referring to sugar that's not standard sugar. It's like sugar crystals almost, like sugar. There'll be color variations of it, or even if it's white, it's going to be in bigger granules of it so that you can see it. It's decorating sugar so that it's very present. So I see they're putting that on top of their snickerdoodle. I love that for them. And I love a snickerdoodle cookie, but you know, I'm going to look at this tahini lime cookie. Oh, tahini lime cookie, reminiscent of sesame halva. Tahini gives these cookies a sultry and almost mysterious taste. Flecks of lime zest brighten them up, and a sprinkle of black sesame seeds on top lets you know what's what, because tahinis have varying oil content. You may have to add a little extra non-dairy milk if the dough appears too dry. So if you haven't had halva before, it's almost like a tahini fudge. So this says it's reminiscent of sesame halva. I mean, halva. I just feel like these might melt in your mouth. Tahini lime cookies, a tahini-based cookie with lime zest in it. Oh, that just sounds so good. Now, we've got our cowboy cookies, which I think is like traditionally like a chocolate chip cookie with some walnuts in it, maybe, and some maybe some coconut. But let's see what we've got here, because they've got cowboy cookies, and then they've also got the cowgirl variation. So let's see what this is. They say, we've heard of this legendary variety of oatmeal cookie and really have no idea what makes it a cowboy. I don't either, but we just like it just the same. Can't you picture a big mustache cowboy on the range just chowing down on these babies instead of nasty old beef jerky? That's right. But we digress. Here's our version of that big satisfying oat and brown sugar cookie, chock full of all kinds of things like nuts, coconut, and best of all, chocolate. Vegan chocolate chunks are perfect for this cookie, so use them if you can. Now, let's see what the cowgirl variation is. I'm not seeing a cowgirl variation. Variation. Cowgirl cookies. Omit the coconut and pecans. With the flour, sift 1.5 teaspoons ground cinnamon and 1/4 teaspoon ground cloves. At the end of the mixing process, stir in 1 cup dried cranberries. Okay, now. 1 cup toasted walnut pieces and 1 generous cup semi-sweet chocolate chunks or chips or vegan white chocolate chips. So, I love that. We're using cranberries here instead of, instead of anything. We're adding cranberries, which I love. Well, and they've got a nice little note on here in toasting on morsels. The lazy way to toast pecans is to make use of preheating the oven, since nuts like to be toasted in low heat. Spread them on a cookie sheet, and 5 minutes into turning the oven on, pop the sheet right in. Bake for 6 to 10 minutes, watching very carefully. Nuts should be fragrant and just barely brown. Remove the nuts from the oven and allow them to cool before chopping or breaking into smaller pieces if necessary. So basically, while you're preheating the oven, you should toast your nuts as well. That's a time saver you're giving us there. I love that, gals. Okay. Our next chapter is wholesome cookies. We have banana oatmeal breakfast cookies, 21st century carob chip cookies. Not into that. I'm telling you that right now. That will not be one that I am like heading for when I open this book. But all for variety. That's great. Chocolate agave trail mixers. You can make a variation with espresso kiss chocolate agave trail mixers. Orange agave chocolate chip cookies. I feel like that's my journey. I'm noticing as I'm going through these books, I'm really having a fondness for the orange and chocolate flavor, which is surprising me. Peanut butter agave cookies, or you can do peanut butter chocolate chip. Fruity oat bars. Variations are fruity oaty coconut bars, fruity oaty coconutty bars, or orange kissed fruity oaty bars. Applesauce softies, apple walnut softies, or apple raisin softies, whole wheat chocolate chip cookies, and apricot almond quinoa chews. Let's go right to that one. Apricot walnut quinoa chews. How does everyone feel out there about quinoa in your baked goods? You feel okay with that? I'm not mad at it. It's fine. I don't get into it. Like, I don't do it a lot, but maybe I'll start. All right. Apricot almond quinoa chews. Tart, sweet, dried apricots, crunchy almonds, and quinoa in 2 forms make beautiful music together in these nutritious, chewy, crisp gems that are also gluten-free. Quinoa flour is an excellent wheat flour alternative if gluten-free baking is what you seek. And the addition of quick-cooking quinoa flakes gives boatloads of pleasantly grainy texture and flavor. All right. Sounds like there's a lot happening here, that you're getting some nice texture from that quinoa. So I can be here for that. I like that. And apricot and almond, I think that's a fantastic combination. Next thing we're moving into is bar cookies, caramel pecan bars. Oh, come on. Who's not here for a caramel pecan bar? You can also make a variation that is salted caramel pecan bars. Are you caramel or caramel out there? I used to be caramel, and now I find myself weaving in caramel every now and then. I don't know. I don't know what that is. I used to also say pop as a kid. I'm from Michigan, and now I say soda. We are who we are. We all grow and change over time. Okay, bar cookies. Blueberry spice crumb bars. Oh my gosh. I'm on the second one in this bar chapter and it all sounds delicious. Whole wheat fig bars, for the love of fruitcake bars, magical coconut cookie bars. Call me blondies. Call me! Triple blondie. A variation is triple blonde blondies or walnut chocolate chip blondies. I love a blondie. So good. Spiced sweet potato blondies. Peanut butter blondies, espresso fudge brownies, more variations are midnight brownies or in the mint chocolate brownies, deluxe cocoa brownies, more variations would be I want walnut brownies, and cocoa chocolate chip deluxe brownies. I was going to say coconut. That's not in there at all. It's chocolate chip deluxe brownies. Chocolate chip cream cheese brownies. Oh, yes, please. Pumpkin pie brownies, lemon bars. Help yourself to some coffee and bars. Lemon bars and big fat crispy rice squares. All right, let's go to those pumpkin pie brownie or pumpkin. I'm just putting on, it's because I'm seeing it all. I'm seeing brownies, blondies, bars, cookies, everything all at once. So pumpkin pie brownies, let's take a look at those pumpkin pie brownies. Ooh, it says when autumn rolls around, your sweet tooth starts asking tough questions. That is true. Brownies or pumpkin? Pumpkin or brownies? Instead of having a sweet tooth mutiny, call a ceasefire with this luscious concoction. A brownie base with pumpkin in the batter and then pumpkin pie filling poured on top and baked together in perfect harmony, studded with chocolate chips, makes this a perfect treat for Halloween. Are you joking me? That looks amazing. It basically looks like a brownie crust with pie filling, a pumpkin pie filling. That's real smart, and I'm real into it. I'm here for that. I may have to make these for, I'm going to put a little marker on this page. I may have to make these when the autumn season rolls around. They've also gotten, this is what I think this is a classic that you kind of can't go wrong with, chocolate chip and cream cheese brownies. It says deluxe cocoa brownies transform into uber fudgy wonders when topped with a luscious, speedy to make cheesy cake top, cheesecakey topping. A dousing of chocolate chips makes them even more irresistible, if that's even possible. Like real cheesecake, these require a long rest in the fridge to firm up, so make these the night before brownies are required. I love that. And it's a great topping with cream cheese and sugar and arrowroot, flour, vanilla, and chocolate chips. Oh, I just love me a good old cream cheese brownie. I just think it's delicious. Moving on to our next chapter, we have fancy cookies. Fancy cookies. All right. Peanut butter, chocolate pillows, Manonos. We're going to look that up. Cranberry walnut thumbprints. David loves a thumbprint. He's big on he loves a raspberry thumbprint, though, with a little bit of lemon glaze. He likes to put a lemon glaze on it. Actually, that's up at veganroadie.com. There's a recipe for it because David loved them so much. Irish cream kisses. Nutty wedding cookies. Another variation is almond weddings. NYC black and white cookies, sweet chocolate pretzels, starry fudge shortbread, cherry star cookies, spritz cookies, those are variations, chocolate marmalade sandwich cookies, ooh, lazy samosas, toasted coconut chocolate cookies, hazelnut fudge dreamies, Nutter Better sandwich cookies, and chocolate bottom macaroon cookies with variations, cocoa macaroon cookies, chipper macaroon cookies, and touch of orange macaroon cookies. I just felt it again, that orange. I saw it and I was like, ooh, I want that. Macadamia lace cookies, ooh la las, and Linzer Tort thumbprint cookies. Oh my gourd. Let's check out their NYC black and white cookies. So this is a staple and a classic in New York. For those of you that don't know, I wish I had some black and white cookie history for you. Maybe we'll try and look it up right now. Origin of the black and white cookie. Does anyone know? I'm very curious to see where the black and white cookie comes from. and Wyatt is Beloved, right? So the black and white cookies, half and half cookies and half moon cookies, are similar round cookies, iced or frosted in two colors, with one half being vanilla and the other half being chocolate. They are found in the northeastern United States and Florida. Florida! I didn't know that. Did you know that? I thought this was strictly NYC. Florida! Huh. Black and white cookies are flat, have fondant or sometimes royal icing on a dense cake base, and are common in the New York metropolitan area. Half moon cookies are slightly dome-shaped, have frosting on a fluffy angle cake base, and I'm sorry. I'm going to be transparent about how I just read the word angle. It's angel, as in angel food cake. Angel baby. Angle baby. Oh, I have frosting on a fluffy angel. I still wanted to say angle looking at it right now. I don't know why. I think there's in parentheses above it, it says convex, and I'm seeing angle, but it's angel. Have frosting on a fluffy angel cake base and are common in central New York and Boston, Massachusetts. Also Boston, didn't know. History. Designs with contrasting light and dark parts were popular at the turn of the 19th century, including on baked goods and desserts. Cookies with cake bases also became popular at the time. Culinary historian Stephen Schmidt sees black and white cookies and half moons as straightforward convergences of the two trends and compares them to tea cakes served in the southern United States. Well, look at that. The black and white cookie is commonly traced to Glaser's Bake Shop in Yorkville neighborhood of Manhattan, founded in 1902 by Bavarian immigrants. The black and white cookie was among the original recipes used by Glaser's Bake Shop. So we're going to stop there with that. But that's what Wikipedia has to tell us about black and white cookies. I got to tell you, that cake part is so important to this because you bite in and you get this sort of like moist, chewy, dense like cookie. It's just so good. It's just so yummy. It's like having a little handheld cake that's not quite a cupcake, you know, but then it's got a firmer top on it where the frosting is on it. And let's see what they have to say about it. NYC black and white cookies. Looking out at you like a sultry, heavy-lidded eye. From many a bakery window, these large cakey cookies are an NYC fixture. Don't know black and white cookies? Imagine not quite a cookie, but a slightly domed mini cake, a drop cake technically, flipped over onto its back, then painted half chocolate, half vanilla, with sugary sweet royal icing and fudgy icing. Unfortunately, because they're commonplace, one can't always vouch for the freshness or quality. And likely they're not vegan anyway. So instead, why not make a batch at home and you'll be assured of super freshness and veganitude. Yay, veganitude. I don't know what they're trying to say by that. It looks like it should be attitude. They made a word up and I'm trying. It's veganitude? Veganitude. You'll be assured of super freshness and veganitude. Yay. Uh-huh. They look delicious. They got that cakey dome. We're talking about it. I think we're using like a little, the icing there. We're using a sort of ganache for the chocolate chips. So it seizes, and then a royal icing for the white side of it. So good. I got to tell you, I once was working on some recipes for Orchard Grocer down on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, a great grocery, vegan grocery store connected to Mushu's, same owners as Mushu's, with a great menu of deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, all those things. And I was trying to come up with some vegan baked goods for them. And I tried a few things. I was trying a vegan cinnamon roll. I was trying these black and white cookies. And I was also trying something else. Oh, a bar that I came up with on my own. It's actually in one of my books. How I was calling it the everything bar or something, but it just had everything piled on top of it. Essentially, they didn't go with anything that I presented to them, by the way. I love them. Sarah and Erica, hello. They're also not listening to this podcast probably, but that's all right. I'm sending my love anyways to New York, to Orchard Grocer. But all that to say, I made these black and white cookies. Now listen, they were delicious. And I made them several times, but I was also very concerned about over baking the cookie. And I remember I took them and Nora, who was their manager at the time, was also in on the tasting. We were trying things and she bit into a black and white cookie. She goes, is this meant to be undercooked? And I was mortified. I was mortified. That is probably one of my, in the grand scheme of my culinary career and all of the recipe testing I have done for venues and development I've done for venues, that is one of my biggest failure moments because I sort of when I was tasked with it, you know, I'm friends with Sarah and Erica, and I adore them. And we were just talking about creating vegan options for their establishment. And I said, let me just give it a whirl. Let me give it a try. So there were no heavy stakes on this, really. It was very casual. Because in my brain, and this was before I had done much with gluten-free stuff, I was like, this is easy. Why is everybody acting like this is a big deal? You know, you kind of get in a space as a vegan food creator where you're like, any challenge is an awesome challenge. You're like, oh, I'm going to do it and it's going to be delicious, right? So that's how I felt about this vegan gluten-free situation. And you know what? They were fine, but it was not great. Like cinnamon rolls, bless anyone who tries to do it. There's a bakery, I'm not going to say their name, but it's a vegan, gluten-free, allergen-friendly bakery on the western side of Michigan that I visited this last year. And I walked in, everything looked so yummy and delicious. And I was like, oh my gosh, they have a gluten-free cinnamon roll. That's the key words here, not vegan. And knowing that I made 15 attempts to make a gluten-free cinnamon roll for Orchard Grocer and literally walked in eventually and was like, I can't do this. This is not my journey. Like, I can't do this for you. You need someone who's like really invested in the gluten-free arena, because I was trying to make it easy and gluten-free. I just was not having success. Anyways, this bakery, I was like, oh my gosh, they have a gluten-free vegan cinnamon roll. And then we tried it. And they didn't roll the cinnamon. They didn't roll the dough. It was layers of dough, because that's one of the problems with the gluten-free flour and rising and all of that. You can't really do it the way you need to for a cinnamon roll so that you can then roll the dough up. It becomes dry and it cracks and it breaks and then it doesn't rise the way it's supposed to. All these things. So it made me feel a little better. I went to this bakery and I was like, well, they're like, it is their job to do gluten-free. And they're giving me like, it was sort of like a cinnamon roll casserole is what they gave me, which no complaints, sugar and cinnamon, I'm here for it. But it was not the traditional cinnamon roll that I thought I was going to get when I pierced my fork into that situation. Anyways, enough about gluten-free. My point of this story is that I failed miserably once at some gluten-free recipe development. I'm happy to say I've gotten much better. It's been about 7 or 8 years now, so, or maybe 6 years. I don't know. Time runs together. So that was the fancy cookies chapter. Let's check out the ooh-la-las. That's at 186, the ooh-la-las cooking. I just love the name of it. What makes it an ooh-la? Oh my goodness. How much do I love this? It's Oreo cookies. So they have a recipe for Oreo cookies in here. They called ooh-la-las. It says vegan Oreos, finally. Oh wait, Oreos are already vegan. But still, these are even more vegan. All that deep black cocoa taste and creamy filling. None of those ingredients you can't pronounce. These aren't difficult, but the high volume makes them a bit of a project. Get the family together and have some fun with it. You'll need a lot of parchment paper, so make sure you have it before you start the recipe. For time management, make the filling while the cookies are baking. So I love this. A recipe for Oreo cookies in here. How lovely. What about Irish cream kisses? Irish cream kisses. A bounty of whiskey, walnuts, cocoa, and coffee awaits. Ooh, doesn't that all sound yummy? And a cookie? This decadent cookie presents an adultish way to relish a heaping dollop of icing topped with chocolate curls. We should probably mention the frosting is boozalicious too, so keep the kids clear of the licking the frosting bowl for this one. Spirit-infused cookies like these taste even better the next day, so consider making them the night before your party. Plus, the icing will firm up and make transporting these a little easier. So I love that. That's our Irish cream kisses. All right, now we have sliced and rolled cookies is the chapter. And this is our last chapter here. Sliced and rolled cookies, chocolate chip chai spice shortbread, coffee house hermits, chocolate chip mint leaf icebox cookies, frosted grapefruit icebox cookies, cornmeal poppy seed biscotti, gingerbread biscotti, green tea walnut biscotti, with a pistachio and green tea biscotti variation, cranberry white chocolate biscotti, key lime shortbread rounds, old-fashioned pie plate shortbread. Variation is rose water shortbread. There we're with that rose water again. I think I talked about that in the last episode talking about this series. Lavender shortbread, Earl Grey shortbread. I love that variations for shortbread. Kitchen sink chocolate biscotti, Graham crackers. So making graham crackers from scratch here. Cinnamon sugar graham crackers is another variation. Roll and cut sugar cookies. Cinnamon sand tarts is another variation. Chocolate cutout cookies. Gingerbread cutout cookies. No bake pecan chocolates. Sweetie's chocolate balls and cookie dough scoops. Ooh, what a way to end that book, right? We've got variations, which is cookie dough dipped and dip scoops, and then gluten-free cookie scoops. How yummy is that? Another story as I'm looking at this graham crackers. There once was a luxury chocolate shop in the Chelsea area of New York called Coco V NYC. And I worked there for a summer seasonally, and I learned how to make, I didn't do any of the chocolates, but I did some of the baked stuff. We made our gingerbread from scratch, and it was delicious. So I love that there's a, I'm sorry, not gingerbread. We made our graham crackers from scratch, and it was so cool because I think we had a s'more something or other that called for graham crackers in it. But it was so cool to make graham crackers from scratch, and there's a recipe in here for it. So you can make yourself some graham crackers from scratch, because that's one. I think Nabisco might be vegan in the grocery store, but it can be a hard one to find a vegan variation because there's often honey in it. So now you've got your option to make your own. So how lovely is that? Let's check out these chocolate chip chai spice shortbread. Chocolate chip chai spiced shortbread says you can skip chai. You can me and my words today. You can sip chai tea while eating chocolate or eat chai spiced chocolates or just nibble on buttery tasting shortbread. It could also be annoying to have to eat and drink all three of those things at the same time. So we give you a crisp, richly flavored shortbread finger filled with both warming chai spices and bits of dark chocolate. Problem solved. The addition of actual chai tea is optional, but it's there if you need maximum chai goodness. And who doesn't? I love myself some chai, so I'm here for that. We've got those key lime shortbread rounds. Lots of delicious different variations of shortbread in here. Let's check out these frosted grapefruit icebox cookies because I love some grapefruit and I love putting things in an icebox and having it dun, 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 dun. Frosted grapefruit icebox cookies. No longer the red-fruited stepchild. Grapefruit shines front and center in these buttery square treats. You should be able to get enough zest and juice from one grapefruit, but pick up two just in case. Well, so now do we put these? We put everything together. We got butter, margarine, vegetable shortening, sugar, vanilla, grapefruit juice, grapefruit zest, flour, cornstarch, baking powder. And then, oh, they look so yummy. Bake for 15 minutes until slightly cool, brown, and then let them cool. Then transfer them to wire rack to cool completely. What makes icebox cookies? Because I'm thinking icebox cake where you can just put... I have one where you put like whipped cream and graham cracker together and with some fruit, and you've got an icebox cake where you put it all in the fridge. And then, see, I'm looking up icebox cookie and I'm not finding anything. I wonder what that is. Let's see here. Why are they called icebox cookies? Out of this movement arrived the icebox cookie. I love it when Google when an explanation starts with that. It's named after the refrigerator's predecessor, the icebox. These were cookies you could keep refrigerated, then bake at a moment's notice. Oh, essentially a 1930s version of Pillsbury slice and bake cookie. So that's wonderful. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about having the dough in the icebox, essentially, and then being able to slice it when you need it, bake it off, and then you've got cookies available. So I love that. I love it. Well, let's go to that no-brainer here. Cookie dough scoops. That's going to be the last one in this book. Cookie dough scoops. And it's got a couple variations on it as well. So cookie dough scoops. They say everyone knows that uncooked cookie dough is the most all-American snack there ever was or will be. Never mind the peanuts or popcorn. Any dough in this book will be consumed straight out of the bowl. Could be consumed straight out of the bowl. But this recipe is a classic, creamy, buttery, tasty brown sugar dough plus a generous portion of chocolate chips and no baking soda or powder, ensures no bitter aftertaste. You can enjoy these cute frozen scoops as is or roll them into a tube, store in the refrigerator, and slice off rounds as needed. Delicious. Or fancy them up with a partial dip of melted chocolate if they don't get gobbled up immediately. So basically cookie dough you're making and then you're freezing them. So you just have like cookie dough truffles essentially, which takes me to the variation here. It says cookie dough dipped scoops. Melt 1 cup of chocolate chips and dip the bottoms of the frozen cookies into the chocolate and place them on the wax paper. I love that variation. Chloe Coscarelli's got one in one of her books where it's got you make little truffles of the cookie dough and then you dip it into chocolate and you let the chocolate seize on it. You got chocolate cookie dough truffles. They're so good. We have a little tip here. This recipe is ideal if you have dreams of making vegan cookie dough ice cream at home. Pat the cookie dough into a 1/2-inch thick disc between 2 pieces of wax paper and freeze until firm. Cut into tiny bite-sized chunks before folding into vanilla or chocolate vegan ice cream. I'm here for that. And I love this about this book too. They've got, at the end of most recipes, a little, instead of saying like tips, it says morsels, and then it gives you a little morsel like that, a little tip that you can take with you of different things you can do and little kitchen tricks and tips and all the things like that. Well, everybody, this is Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar, the second in the, let's call it the sweet series from Terry and Issa. We had the vegan cupcakes take over the world last. Now we just did vegan cookies invade your cookie jar. And you'll have to join me, not next week, but the week after, when I tackle vegan pie in the sky, 75 out of this world recipes for pies, tarts, cobblers, and more. And that will end this fun little series on this great little collection of books. So I can't wait. I hope you're getting in your kitchen. I hope you're baking. I hope you're getting these books because I love them so much. I really, really do. And, they also make a great gift because they're such a fun size. So if you're getting, you have someone who's interested in baking and, or someone who's interested in vegan baking, I suggest buying these as a bundle and tying them up with a nice little bow and giving them as a gift. And this was Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar. Get it everywhere. Books are sold or probably, at an online retailer at this point. Probably it's not actually in the bookstore just because it came out quite some time ago. Thanks for joining. As usual, follow me on Instagram at The Vegan Roadie or on my website, veganroadie.com. And hey, keep on cooking. And remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.